Well, we'd like to welcome our Facebook Live crowd, for those who are watching us on Facebook Live, and we hope that this message is meaningful to you and to all of us. Well, today is the last message in my series on the Beatitudes, or the blessings of Jesus. And these eight blessings are the beginning of what scholars believe is the greatest sermon ever preached, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Jesus began by saying, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit," which means that blessed are those who realize that they are spiritually bankrupt. And that leads naturally to mourning over our own unworthiness, humbling ourselves in meekness, hungering and thirsting for God, showing mercy as we have been shown mercy, yearning to have pure intentions in our hearts, living as peacemakers, and enduring persecutions with grace and love. Now, this last beatitude is probably the most misunderstood. Jesus said, "Blessed or happy are those who are persecuted." Now, what a strange statement. It's a paradox, a contradiction, a confusing blessing. How are people supposed to be happy while they are suffering and being persecuted? It doesn't make sense. But hopefully, in just a few moments, it will. Let us pray. Oh God, speak to us according to our spiritual needs and help us to understand this significant beatitude. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Well, Jesus must have known that his disciples and followers would have a hard time with this eighth blessing, because out of all the beatitudes, this is the only one that Jesus repeated for emphasis. Jesus didn't just say the persecuted are blessed once, he said it twice. And then he told us to rejoice and be glad in the midst of it. Well, to understand this beatitude, we need to consider what Jesus meant with the word persecution and why and how we are to rejoice and be glad. So what is persecution? Well, the Cambridge English Dictionary defines it as unfair or cruel treatment over a long period of time because of race or religion or political beliefs. Now, if we apply that definition to Christianity, it sounds like this. Persecution means it's unfair or cruel treatment because of our faith in Christ. Cruel treatment can be anything from being ridiculed for wearing a cross to being slandered with false statements to being made fun of for carrying a Bible or even being martyred for simply believing in Jesus. Well, since we do not have much violent persecution in our country, most Americans don't understand what it really means. However, there are numerous countries where persecution against Christians is rampant. In fact, there is an organization called OpenDoorsUSA.org that constantly watches and monitors persecution around the world. And they even have a list of the 50 most dangerous countries for Christianity. And who do you think is at the top of the list? North Korea. Well, actually, persecution has been part of human life since the beginning of creation. Cain killed his brother Abel as an act of persecution because he was jealous of his brother's offering to God, and as a result, God banished him from the family. The Israelites persecuted Moses by murmuring and grumbling against him because he took them out into the wilderness. They wanted to go back to Egypt. But God became angry with them. He opened up the earth and swallowed those who were cruel to Moses. Jezebel persecuted the prophet Elijah after he defeated all of the prophets of the false god Baal. And she threatened to kill him, but God protected him. And sometime later, she was thrown out of a high window and died. Haman persecuted the Israelite people and wanted to exterminate the entire nation. But God allowed Esther to become queen and foiled his plans. Well, sometimes when people are persecuted, God intervenes and grants amazing, miraculous blessings. At other times, persecutions end up leading to death and to martyrdom. But even greater blessings often follow. According to the Fox's Book of Martyrs, all of the apostles except John were killed because of their faith. James, the elder brother of John, was killed by King Herod, making him the first apostle to be martyred. What's interesting, though, is that the person who falsely accused James of heresy was so impressed by the courage and the conviction and the commitment that he saw in James that he professed faith in Jesus, gave his life to Christ, and was martyred alongside of James. Another contradiction, though, has to do with the contrast between the seventh and the eighth of the Beatitude. If you look at the seventh, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers," which is just the opposite of the strife that is created through the eighth Beatitude, which is about persecution. It's strange for Christians to strive to make peace with people, only to have those people become angry and seek to persecute them. And yet, Jesus clearly explained that even though he was the Prince of Peace, he was hated and attacked relentlessly. Jesus said, "All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved." John Chrysostom, one of the early church fathers who was the Archbishop of Constantinople in the 4th century, often preached against ecclesiastical and political manipulation, which offended the corrupt empress Eudoxia and some of the church officials. And in response, her husband, the emperor Arcadius, threatened Chrysostom with banishment if he did not cease his convicting sermons. And Chrysostom responded and said, "Sir, you cannot banish me, for the world is my father's house." The emperor then threatened him with death, and Chrysostom responded, "Nay, but you cannot, for my life is hid with Christ in God." And then he threatened to take all of his treasures away, and Chrysostom replied, "Sir, that cannot be either, because my treasures are in heaven, where none can break through and steal." And finally, the emperor threatened, "Then I will drive you away from man, and you will have no friends left." And Chrysostom boldly answered and said, "That you cannot do either, for I have a friend in heaven who has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" Well, Chrysostom was banished, and he died soon after that, but he rejoiced, and he was full of gladness, even in the midst of persecution. Persecution is unfair or cruel treatment because of our faith in Christ, and since it is not enjoyable or pleasant, then why and how are we to rejoice and be glad when it happens? Well, Jesus gives two answers. First, he says that we can rejoice because our reward will be great. Now, what is that reward? He says it is the kingdom of heaven. He said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, though we do not know exactly what heaven will be like, and however, if you do want to know what heaven will be like, please sign up for Cecil Wren's small group, because she's going to tell you everything you ever wanted to know about the kingdom of heaven. Just a little commercial for her small group. But though we don't know much about heaven, we do know from the testimonies of those who have experienced these near-death experiences that it must be an amazing place. Because the people who experience those near-death experiences do not want to come back to earth. And they often explain that heaven has such a sense of pure peace and pure love that they don't ever want to leave it. The second reason that Jesus gives as to why we should rejoice and be glad when we're persecuted is because we are counted worthy to be in the same company as the ancient prophets who were persecuted long before us. What an honor it would be to join the fraternity of prophets that include the great ones like Daniel and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Micah and Ezekiel and Zechariah and Amos and Elijah and so many others. Knowing that God sees us as being like them when we are persecuted can really make our hearts rejoice and be glad. In the late 1800s, the gospel exploded in the nation of India as an event with an evangelistic frenzy. Entire provinces that had been closed to Christianity were swept into this vast missionary movement. And what made this spiritual revival so remarkable were two things. First, it was led mostly by people from India. And second, the movement was focused on northern India, where most of the harsh and oppressive forms of Hinduism existed. The northern provinces were so dangerous that dozens of missionaries had been martyred trying to proclaim the good news. However, despite the violent opposition, some of the village people became Christians. In the province of Assam, a Welsh missionary finally led his first family to profess faith in Christ and be baptized. Unfortunately, the villagers took matters into their own hands to eliminate this foothold that had taken place for Christianity in their village, and they arrested the family and demanded that the father renounce his belief in Christ. But the man boldly proclaimed, "I have decided to follow Jesus, and there is no turning back." After hearing his response, the chief ordered that the two small boys in the family be taken and executed by archers. And they were. Again, the chief asked him to deny his faith in Jesus, but he said, "The world can be behind me, but the cross is still before me." And angered by his response, his wife was taken and killed right there in front of him. They gave him one more chance to give up his faith in this man named Jesus, but he looked at them with tears in his eyes and a thunderous conviction in his voice, and he said, "Though no one is here to go with me, still I will follow Jesus." And the village chief simply raised his hand, and the archers killed him as well. As the four family members lay before them, the chief became so convicted by this man's tremendous faith in this person called Jesus that he and many others in the village became believers. The story of what happened to that martyred family in the province of Assam was so astonishing that it caused a revival to break out there and in other villages as well. Sometime later, an Indian evangelist by the name of Sadhu Sundar Singh heard about the testimony of this father. He took the father's last words, he connected them to a traditional Indian tune, and he created a unique Indian hymn. The song immediately became very popular in the new churches that had formed in these provinces, and it actually remains one of the most popular hymns in India today. Eventually, some American missionaries returned from India and brought the song back with them and shared it with a Canadian songwriter by the name of George Beverly Shea. And he began using it at the Billy Graham Crusades, and the rest is history. I've asked our music director, Beth Tyre, to come and sing the first verse for you.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Even persecution has the power to change lives for Christ. Blessed are those who are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.